Good? There we go. This morning's message is pretty simple, and it's kind of developed throughout the week, but didn't really know what I was going to say until recently, but I did have what I was going to read. But some of it kind of a culmination of things that happened earlier in this week, but me and Jen have kind of been working through this together. And two of the words that I was thinking of this morning, just kind of want to start off, is it's not really, the sermon is not about justification, but we hear these words justification, which is the being made right with God, right? So that's the work that Jesus did. When we come to him, we are made right in his eyes, not because of our righteousness, not because of our holiness, but because of what he did, we are now seen as righteous through Christ. So to be justified, if you've come to Christ, you're part of the family today, you've been made right in God's eyes because of the work that Christ did. But the word sanctification is the process of becoming holy. It's the work of making a vessel holy for God's use. And it is a process that is ongoing until you and I give our last breath. And that's kind of painful to accept sometimes, because just like our salvation, you kind of just want it to be, okay, I did it, I've got it, I'm good, and then let's just live out the life in that. But that's not the reality, is that this process of becoming holy is an everyday weeding out of ourselves. And it's a painful experience. Pulling weeds can be a painful experience, but it makes a garden look beautiful, and it makes a garden healthy. And so it is a process. Now, one of the things I was thinking, I told Jenna earlier this week, how many of you have heard a sermon, or you're reading the Word, or somebody's been praying, or you're praying about something, and the first thought that comes to mind is, I know someone who could use this. Right, I know someone who this sermon applies to, and I know who could really hear this message, because I know that they're working through this, or I really think that they need to hear what he's saying or she's saying. This happens a lot with me, that I think of people, like people I've had interactions with, and I'm like, oh man, that would have been good for them. And I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I preached a sermon about forgiveness here, and I said, if you can listen to this sermon without actually considering who needs to come for forgiveness and think of yourself, I said, try it that way. For one Sunday, I just want you to not think of another person, but think of yourself. Does this apply to you? And so, kind of like when you fly on an airplane, if you've been there, most of us probably by now ignore the instructions, right? We've heard it so many times. Yeah, we know what we're supposed to do as the plane careens down, and we all know that we really wouldn't do any of that because we'd be panicking. But as it's going, it says that what you're supposed to do is, when the mask comes down, what was the first thing you're supposed to do? Yeah, you put on yourself, and then you put it on your little one, right? And the reason for that is because you're not going to be much help to your little one if you're not taken care of. And so one of the aspects of this morning is, and this week is, I've really prayed a lot less for others and prayed for myself more. And that sounds kind of selfish, but I want to explain to you why. Is this idea that, and last week we weren't here because our little one was sick and we were both getting sick and it was just kind of chaotic. And at one point I hadn't fully gotten sick yet, and Jenna's like, Michael, go to bed. And I'm like, well, you need help with him. And she's like, no, because I feel like I'm getting sick, but I'm not there yet. And if you get sick and you don't get rest, then who's going to take care of the baby? Like, neither of us can do this. And so you need to recover. And I'm like, okay, I'll go take a nap. And so she was thinking ahead, saying she's going to need me at the time when I need to take care of him. There's an aspect of this that I think is very healthy that I want to lay out this morning. And I think it was Monday I came home from work last weekend. Not only was there sickness in the house, but like me and Jenna were just very restless and very like there was a lot of things that we were like, we were tired, we were overwhelmed, and we were like, man, I'm not being a good parent, I'm not being a good spouse, and all these things, right? And we're talking, we're not doing a lot of praying, but we're talking a lot about, and I went to bed absolutely feeling defeated Sunday night. And Monday morning I woke up and I'm driving to work and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. I am overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I've failed. And I can't even pinpoint the issue. And I'm just all over the place. And I said, I need you to help me right now. Got a big week ahead of me. And I hate what I'm feeling. And there were things as I began to pray. I said, Lord, whatever this is, if this is me, if I'm doing something or if there's something I'm missing or I'm not seeing something clearly, will you show me? And God began to open up and reveal things from weeks before, just things about me that I thought I had mastered or that maybe my emotions towards something or my feelings towards a situation, there were multiple things that I came home and he began to reveal them and it was like a gut punch every single time. But it wasn't a cruel thing. It wasn't a God was accusing me. It was a God revealing in me the things that I'm like, oh, that's why. Not so much why I'm a failure as a husband or failure as a father. It's more, this is why you're feeling the way you are. This is why you're overwhelmed. This is why your heart is hurting. And I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to bring it to light so that it can be dealt with. And it was such a wonderful thing, but it was a very painful thing. And I got home and I sat down. And usually I go take a shower, I eat something, but I sat down on the couch in my work clothes. And I'm like, Jen, I'm like, I learned some things today. And I began to share the things I learned. I was like, this is very humbling for me to admit these areas of my life that I never wanted to admit to, that this is something I'm battling right now. Or I read that verse all my life and I've always thought, man, stinks for the people that struggle with that. And I'm like, it was very humbling to say something that basic or that obvious was something that internally I was battling and I didn't even realize it. And it was a very humbling moment to accept that, man, that's me. And yet, it was one of the most freeing feelings. When me and Jenna got married, even prior, while we were engaged, and if you are newly married or within the last few years, maybe you remember, maybe even if you've been married for years, you remember this. But I remember telling Jenna, we lived about 5 hours away from each other, and I was like, you know what, Jenna, I said, I feel like there's a lot right now in this process of as we're engaged that there's this selfishness in me that God's beginning to weed out. And I came to this realization that God was showing me that there's two aspects of that selfishness. There's one that's completely natural in the sense of I've been spending years taking care of myself. I'm a single guy, pay my own bills, I support whatever I want to, I go out to eat, I buy groceries, I do everything for myself because that's where I am in life. And that's just a natural part of selfishness, not in a negative way, but I've been taking care of self. So that was slowly being weeded out because I realized a lot of my future plans were no longer just my decision, but I had a future wife that was going to also be impacted by these things. The other half was just basic sin of, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to stop doing this, or I don't want to consider finances shifting to this or this or this, or what does Jenna want in the future? Those were things that the natural or the sinful selfishness that was weeded out. And by the time we got married, I'm like, man, God's done such a work in me. And then even after we got married, he continued to. And I was like, man, about all the selfishness that can be squeezed out of me was squeezed out. And then we got pregnant. And I realized, no, there's a lot still there. And I can even tell you today, this is not something I've mastered. There is a great amount of selfishness in me. And there are days that I'm just like, being a dad is one of the hardest. I will take getting married 10 times over and repeating it and going through that process again and again and again. As wonderful it was, there were some difficult parts about getting married. But I would take it again and again, but I would also be a dad again, but man, it's painful. There are days that I'm just like, man, this is not easy. And every bit of selfishness rises to the surface, but it's wonderful when the Lord brings it to light and he helps me to work through it. And it was so wonderful. My wife sat there and she was not accusatory. Some of the stuff she already knows about me, but I just am not aware of it. And usually, even if she were to tell me, I wouldn't be like, yeah, that's right. I'd be like, how could you say that about me? And she sat there, and I'm sure half of it she knew, but the other half, I think that she was actually shocked, like, oh, I didn't realize that you were struggling in that area. And she was so gracious, and she's like, that's really humble for you. It's a really a humbling thing that you admitted and shared that. And she was just so gracious about it. And it was a long week, but it was such a set the tone for the week. And ever since then, the passage of scripture that the Lord gave me, but also the two passages before that have been the same thing, is that Jesus is my advocate. And I know that was a long way around to get to that. But how gracious it is for our Heavenly Father, who knows all the things right now. I guarantee you there are things right now you're sitting here, and I were to read a passage, you say, that does not apply to me. And then down the road, you'll be like, oh, that was there. And how gracious it is that God does not always treat us as our sins or our struggles deserve. He's gracious to us. He's patient with us. And He gives us time to humbly come before Him and say, okay, God, bear my heart. Show me exactly what's there. As painful as it is such a relief. When we get sick, I'm going to give a little call to Dr. Schultz. Maybe you like him, maybe you don't. Jenna loves him, and she buys his products. Very expensive. Just know going in, it's very expensive stuff. But there's a particular thing she gets called cold and flu medicine, and this stuff is vile. I don't talk about witchcraft very often, but I say this is Jenna's witch's brew. It is vile stuff. And I remember when I was engaged to her, I came that weekend to visit her, and I was deathly sick. I was coughing, I was congested, I had the flu, and she's like, we're giving you this stuff. And I took it, and I'm like, this isn't bad. I couldn't taste anything. I was that sick. And after about 2 days, she kept on giving me these doses. In 2 days, everything had cleared up, and it had cleansed what was within. And so now, I swear by this stuff. You get a cold, you get a fever, come to us. We'll give you a shot of this. You will hate it, but you will feel free. In a very real way, that is exactly what happens when the Spirit comes upon you and begins to cleanse the things. It is a painful experience, and sometimes it tastes really bad admitting it. And yet, it is so cleansing. It is so freeing. And the burden that is lifted is wonderful when you are able to say, God, I admit, that's hard for me. Or I am really struggling through this, and I really want this area of my life to change. And one of the things early on this week is this constant thing is that I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. I am your advocate. Romans 8:38. Talks about this. Actually, we're just going to read it. I was going to just kind of paraphrase, but let's go to it. Romans 8. And I swear I can't look up anything when I'm preaching because then I lose my place with my thought. So Romans 8. And verse 38, actually, I'm going to start with 37. It says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I probably wrote down the wrong thing again. Let me see here. I did write down the wrong thing. How do I do this? I do this with my notes. Let's see. All of you Bible scholars out there, what am I trying to get to? Why did I write down 8:38? Let me see here. 12:2. I do have that down here too. I will start with that. Let's start with that and see if I can unwind what I did here. Romans 8, or 12, verse 2. Therefore I urge you, and actually we're going to start in verse 1 here. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Now verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can you turn on the fan, Ray? Or someone over there. I'm not only nervous, but I'm also hot, and this shirt is Nick's fault. So I had him in mind. Oh, man. I wrote this down because actually one of the things I'll share with you is that I told her, Jenna, earlier in the week, I said one of the things I really battle with is I have not only I live a busy life, but I have a busy mind. And if I'm not actually doing stuff, then my mind is doing stuff, and I'm all over the place, and I'm constantly planning, I'm constantly at tomorrow, I'm constantly a week ahead, and my schedule is all over the place. And I told her, I said, it is so easy. This is one of the verses that I'm like, I always thought being conformed to the world meant that I was just living out horrible patterns of sin. But I also realized being conformed to the world is just looking like the world views life. That the most important thing on my schedule is what I have to do at work, what do I have to do at home, what I need to do with the farm, what do I need to provide for my family. Those are all important things, but I realize I get in this habit where that consumes my mind, and it consumes my heart to the point that I'm like, well, what about my heart? What is going on here? The way that busy mind does is it begins to consume my mind with money. I consume my mind of planning and preparing and savings. Do I have enough for this? Do I have enough for that? And the next thing you know, I'm living in fear. I am living in desiring more of this or more of that because I want to feel safe. And I'm like, it is exactly what the world's pattern is. And yet to admit that, man, I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And yet I'm not every day doing that. I'm conforming because if somebody on the outside looking in would be like, that man's not at peace, that man does not know the direction he is going, and he's trying to do this by this method, and that just doesn't look like what it's supposed to. And again, my ultimate goal is to be pleasing the Lord's eyes, not the world's, but sometimes I do wonder, is my example what they need? Is the way living in that conformity. And so I've been really thinking about that, is that the renewing of my mind, the renewing of my mind is a daily process. The renewing of my heart and readjusting, refocusing, this something has to happen weekly. It has to happen daily. Now, let me see where I got here. I'm going to go ahead and read John. Let's see if I got this one right. 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate for us. Now, the verse that I don't have memorized and that I apparently wrote down is Romans 8:38, which is not. Is that it talks about how Christ is our intercessor, that he sits by the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And I don't think of that very often. I don't think of the fact that my Heavenly Father is interceding for me and that I am loved that much, that I'm on his mind. Now, honestly, what I had planned to do for this sermon was I was going to read the passage that I had been given, and that was it. And I thought it probably would be enough, but I wanted to share a little bit more. But when I didn't know what I was going to preach, I didn't even know what Nick preached last week. I don't know what Gabe preached at the fire 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even know where we're at as a church. I haven't been involved in everything. And I'm like, so what do I talk about? I don't know where we're at. And I think partially he gave this to me because he knew what was coming Monday. He knew that I was going to need this and it'd be very real. But one of the things I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know what to pull out of this chapter. And I'm going to close the sermon this morning just reading a chapter with you. So I hope you can stay awake, but I hope you will personalize it. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to pull out from this. And he said, don't pull anything out. Read it and let everyone else pull what they need out. Because he said, there's something here for everyone. And so what I've tried to do this week as I've read through it is say, Lord, help me to personalize this because it is a personal message to me and it's a personal message to you. But there are very few times in the New Testament where we actually get to see Jesus' heart for us in the way that he says. Very few times does he actually have prayers. There's a few times we see it. But there is one striking area that Jesus' heart for his church, for his children, is going to come out. So what I'm going to do in closing this morning, and I hope you'll either read it with me, and if you don't want to read it with me, I welcome you to close your eyes. If you fall asleep, great, you can rest here. I don't care. But if you want to close your eyes and consider, not my voice, but consider as I read this, that this is Christ's words to us. And personalize it for you, that he was thinking of you and me that day. So I'm going to read John 17, and that is where I'm going to close. So bear with me through it, but I think if you let your heart be open to it, I think that you can get something from it. And we're just going to read the chapter here, so just stick with me. In And after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Now glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world will believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This is a two-part prayer, really. He's praying for his immediate disciples, who he knows in not very long time are going to have to cope with the idea that the one they've walked with for years has now left. The one who says, go here, go there, stay here, move there, heal there, give there, is no longer going to be here in the physical, and they're going to have to rely on the Spirit that he is sending. But there's going to be a moment of grief. And then after that, all of these disciples who are constantly showing their humanity, as I talked about this morning, is going to be the ones that carry that message. And very quickly, they are going to be one by one persecuted and then executed. Jesus, really for the first time in all of eternity, has now experienced humanity. And he totally understands what they are facing, what they're about to go through. He understands what grief looks like. He understands what pain looks like. Completely perfect, but completely understanding you and me. And so he prays for them, not because they're about to leave the world, but they're going to remain and be the bearers of the light. And so he prayed for them. But by extension, he says, not only them, but those who will hear and receive the message. Who's also an extension of that? You and me, because that message has continued to be passed down. We were prayed for years and years and thousands of years ago by Jesus, who knew what you and I would face. Long before we were a twinkle in our parents' eyes, he knew, and he was praying for us. And it's hard. Like, Lord, I'm a pastor, I don't really care much about the title, but I'm like, Lord, I'm a I'm your son. And it's chaotic being a parent. It's chaotic being a husband. It's hard to be in this world of constant chaos and constant running and constant focus, but also realize I'm transformed, that I am dead to this world, dead to sin, that I am a new creation, that I've been crucified with Christ, that my home is not really ultimately here, it's in eternity, and yet I'm still here, and I still got to figure out this life. That's a painful reality that I am in constant battle with. And yet he's my advocate, and he understood that. And I love this passage because it brings me back to the heart of who he called me to be, that ultimately that's who I am in him. And I don't want to lose sight of it. If all I do in this life is point my wife and my son towards that truth, honestly, I think that's what makes us a good parent, what makes us a good spouse. Hopefully the other things we do well too, but if I miss that, then honestly nothing else matters. And that's really hard because that's usually the last thing that's important to me because all of the physical things I need to do. And I don't want to miss that. And so sometimes I have a very organized message where I know exactly where I'm going, and this one is more, God, you're working in my heart, and you've given me some passages that I don't know fully what to do with it, but I know this is what I'm supposed to say. Our Heavenly Father is interceding for us, and he's so gracious to us. I guess just my challenge and encouragement to you is whether your week's going fine and there's nothing there, or you're like, you dragged yourself in today and put on a smile as best you could, but honestly, when you go home, it's not going to feel that way. I get it. Me and Jenna get it. She can laugh about it up here, but I promise you guys, this week, we weren't always laughing about it. And there were days of exhaustion that I'm like, I'm the worst Christian in the world. I'm a horrible parent. And you're close to tears. And all of you as parents understand that feeling. You've been there before. You as teenagers, you may not be married, you may not have kids, but you've been there before. You come here and, you know, you smile for everyone, but really, your week hasn't looked that way. It's okay. And how gracious he is that when he reveals those things that are hurting me, that are making me struggle, he brings peace and he brings forgiveness. He brings help. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. And so, if you leave today with a burden, which I hope you can just leave it here, but if you leave it with it today, my prayer is that you'll remember these passages, that he is not around you sitting there accusing you. He is not the accuser of his children. He is the builder up. He is the savior. He is the master, and he is love. Sometimes it's painful, just as a parent. It's sometimes painful being a parent, but we don't love our children any less. And he is so gracious to us. So I guess if you leave this morning and maybe your heart's a little bit in turmoil, humble yourself and just say, Lord, open up. Bear whatever it is that needs to be seen and help me to work through it. And it'll just change your week. It really did. It really lightened my load. And I felt such a peace, as painful as it was. But I did. I felt like a garden that had been uprooted, that the weeds had been taken away. So take what you want for it, or ultimately take what the Spirit wants to give you. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are in our humanity, that, Lord, none of us are professionals. And, Father, that we are truly, without you, just human flesh, who are prone to failure, prone to weakness, prone to discouragement. But, Father, we thank you that we don't have to live there. That, Father, that your Spirit made us new. And, Father, sometimes we just need a renewing of our mind and our hearts. Father, I thank you that you intercede for us on our behalf. That you intercede, Father, that you are our advocate, that you go to the Father for us. Father, I thank you that you know the things about our hearts that we don't even know, that our spouses don't know, that our families, that our church, that our closest friends don't even know. And yet you intercede on our behalf. And you're patiently waiting, Lord, to change our hearts and to just shift us back to you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room that they would have joy abundant. And that, Father, whatever they're facing, Father, that they would stop this week and just remember who they are and whose they are. And that you would help us to become more like you. Sanctify us, Father. Make us more like you, Lord. I pray that we continue to be holy vessels, pure, Lord, and cleansed and more like you.
so that the world may see that your love is in us. Keep us on track, Lord, and guide our hearts, guide our families. We love you, Lord. We honor you. And we trust you this week as you go with us, Father, in our daily lives, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our workplace, in our homes, and in our relationships. Bring us to that place, Father. We love you. In your name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.